Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. And we come to you every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. If you can't listen live, please listen to the podcast. I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, and I do a few other Blog Talk Radio shows, which I hope you'll listen to, with a lot of coaches. And we do a golf show with David Ogren, the great David Ogren, at 9 o'clock on Sunday nights. Of course, he's a multiple winner on the PGA Tour and a friend of Tiger's, actually, and has a lot of opinions about Tiger always and a lot of other good stuff. But the real star of this show is Richard Lucas. He is the best center at the University of Oregon. He played there 4 years with Terrell Brandon. He was captain of the team after Blair Rasmussen, and he also is a great duck, very loyal, and he also is the best State Farm insurance owner in the world. And I'm going to ask him a little bit about State Farm. We always ask a couple insurance questions. Best father, best husband. He's really working on his landscaping. And is he truly the best fisherman in the world? Richard, do you like to fish or do you go fishing?
I do like fishing, except for I cheat a little bit. And I go to those places that you don't need a fishing license. It's kind of private land. And they stock the lakes with fish. And you go and you, as soon as you catch something, you take it up and they charge you by the weight. And then you take it home. So, you know, they even clean it for you if you want. So it's a little bit cheating, but it still is enjoyable.
Richard, my insurance question tonight, and you own a insurance company that's located on historic Lombard Avenue, a great, great street, historic. North Portland really revived itself. It's fantastic. But I'd like to talk a little bit about, we haven't in a long time, the products, tell us, that are offered by State Farm. And you know, obviously that puts a little more pressure on you, but it also makes you attentive to your customers.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's great about State Farm is that we do offer over 100 products. And so we are able, most people know us for auto insurance or home insurance or maybe even life insurance, but most people don't realize that we are also State Farm Bank. And so through State Farm Bank, I can offer CDs, I can offer checking and savings accounts, Visa cards, MasterCards. I can set up a savings account or a checking account, or we can do vehicle loans and mortgages even, and refinances. So we've got that portion of our business. I'm also a registered rep, so I can do IRAs and 401ks. And mutual funds right there out of the office, and then health insurance, all the different health insurance needs as well. So we're about as full service as it comes. It does put a lot of pressure on us as agents because there are a lot of things to know. But when you got a company as supportive and as strong behind you, like State Farm, if there's anything that I have any questions on or not quite clear about, it's very easy for me to pick up the phone and contact our support system.
Richard, talk a little bit about your staff. You obviously can't do what you all have to do with by yourself, but it's like coaching. You got to have a great staff under you, all the way down to the manager of the team.
Yeah, I got my team captain, who's my office manager. He's been with me for 3 years, and Alonzo, and he's bilingual in Spanish. And then I have my other two players who have been with me, both one for about a year, and the other one's relatively new, just a few months. So I have three full-time people who are licensed and who understand State Farm and State Farm products, and because I can't be, even though my name's on the door, I can't service the thousands of clients that we have by myself. So you're absolutely right. I have to have a good team in place in order to be a successful agency, and I think I've done a pretty good job thus far.
Very good, Richard. Where can people get a hold of you? You give the address out, I think, tonight, and the phone number. You know, that's critical. And do you have an individual website for your company?
I do. So the address is 3549 North Lombard Street in North Portland, like you had said, NoPo. And the phone number is 503-200-5545. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to www.thelucasagency.com. So thelucasagency.com. And right from there, it's actually pretty user-friendly. You can actually go online and do quotes online or look up products that we may have, some of the things we talked about. So there's a lot of information on the website.
Very good. And you also love sports, Richard. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. As you know, Richard, I follow the WCC as closely as anybody.
Yep.
And I always had a lot of admiration for Dellavedova. The guy was terrific. He always wanted the ball at the end of the game. You saw he had guts, and he's getting a chance to prove that he can play in the big time.
Isn't that fun? I love stories like that come from guys just that unsung heroes who step up when called upon. And that's one of the greatest things about sports just in general. Just when somebody, you know, comes out of the blue and really is making a name for himself, and they would not be in the position that they are in right now if he was not on that team, because they have needed so much help since Kyrie Irving went down.
Richard, we've been known to get a little controversial on this show occasionally, and this is kind of starting to irritate me. As you know me as well as anybody, I'm not going to put up with any racial overtones. You've never heard me crack a joke, a sexist joke or anything, but I'm a little irritated with the people saying, well, the reason Dellavedova, they talk about so much about him because he's white. I think that's a crock.
You know, I think that I want us to figure out, I'm not going to completely disagree with you, but I guess I can't jump on 100% on that side. And here's why. Simply because he is a conversation piece, partly because he is really good and has helped this team. But I really, really, truly wonder if he was not, if there would be as much attention about him. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, an example being Patty Mills from a couple of years ago, or even I can't remember when it was. Patty Mills was a massive part of San Antonio's victory. I don't know if there was as much spoken about Patty Mills a couple of years ago than there is with Deli, is what they refer to him. So I don't know. I mean, I you know, is it right? I wouldn't say yes, it's, you know, right or wrong, but I have to believe that there's probably something to it. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'll challenge you a little bit there on why it bothers me and the difference with the Patty Mills. And I'll let you have the final say on the topic. But the reason that I say that Dellavedova is getting so is he's a lightning rod. There's a lot of people don't like him, you know. I mean, and they don't like his style, and there's a lot of people think, oh, this great guy from, you know, he's got the funny accent and everything, and there's just as many people that don't like him, and you know, even Colin Coward, who I enjoy, Colin's really good when he starts pontificating, but when he gets down to really knowing stuff, he doesn't know that much about sports, because, you know, he said the other day, he said, well, he's getting the most attention of any of the worst players ever in the finals. So anyway, I think it's just he's sort of a lightning rod. To have the finals, they jump in.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely is a lightning rod, and a lot of that has to go back to the injuries that that he caused, and or almost injuries that he caused against you know, Al Horford, and so, you know, he's a pest, is really what he is. He's that gnat that flies around that you just want to just swat and get out of your face. But I mean, again, it goes back to, you know, would we be having these conversations, you know, if he is not, you know, a white player who is having success? I don't know. I really don't know. But it seems to have a little bit of credence to it, but maybe not to the extent that, that you know, maybe some think. I mean, I don't think that it's a completely defining of who he is, but I do think that there may be a little bit to say about it.
Richard, do you think that Kevin Love will be on the Cleveland Cavaliers come October of 2015?
Yeah, you know, we kind of talked about that before, and I felt that if it depends on what he's looking for. If he's just looking for the money and, you know, another team and trying to be the man, then no. But, you know, he's said that he's coming back again. You know, that's people just talking. But, you know, this team is good. And if you add those pieces back with Kyrie back, and obviously with if Love does stay, you know, there is no there's no chance, no saying that they can't continue to have two or three or four Eastern Conference, you know, finals, championships, you know, getting to the NBA finals. I mean, this team, especially in the East, they could dominate for multiple years. And you know, when you've made as much money as he has already, and you know, and you've endorsements and all that, I mean, at some point it has to be about winning. I mean, he hasn't had a real chance to win yet, and so I think he stays. I think he stays, and even if he's the third wheel, at least he's a wheel in a championship team, as opposed to, you know, the main cog in a web wheel that doesn't do anything. He's been there. He's done that.
I'll predict that he won't be there, and he'll either be in Boston or Los Angeles with a long shot of Portland. Speaking of Portland,
that'd be fun.
Do you think that? I know factually that he has nothing against playing in Portland. Now he could be pretty good to step in here and help them a lot. I want to keep the theme going, then I want to close tonight with the Golden State, but I want to keep this theme going a little bit. Where do you think LaMarcus Aldridge will be come October 2015? And I'm going to throw in another city that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
Houston's been known to go after people and surprise a lot of people. And I think you got to put them in the mix.
You do, well, because of the hometown. They get like the hometown discount almost for him, just being from that area. You know what? I really think if I had to bet money, which we're not doing in this circumstance, but if I had to bet money, I think he leaves. I really do. And the reason being is that Portland is a great city, great sports town. The Blazers love him, but I just don't feel the Blazers are going to be able to field the team that is going to in, especially in the West, be able to have a chance to legitimately be the Western Conference champion and go to the finals. And I think he is feeling, again, you go back to the whole money thing, he's got plenty of money. And wherever he goes, he's going to get plenty of money. Now he wants to win. And so that's why I feel like a Houston or Dallas or just a place where he has an opportunity to actually win, I could see him going toward. I wouldn't see him going, like, for instance, to a New Orleans or something like that. You know, he's not going to just change. He's not going to make a lateral move. He's going to make a move to a team that has a legitimate chance of going far in the playoffs.
Very interesting. And my final just general NBA question before we talk about the finals, Richard. Did it surprise you today that the NBA and the Players Association made a big deal about they're going to open up negotiations August 1st for 2 years out? Sounds like the presidential races where they start 8 years ahead of time for that 2017 season to avoid a lockout or a strike. I was kind of surprised, but it's probably a good business move on both parts.
Yeah, I mean, it makes both sides seem like they're eager to actually get something done. I can tell you right now, nothing's going to be done even until it gets closer to that,
right,
to the actual
right.
deadline. So, but you know, you can posture and for public's sake, you know, everybody smiles and shakes hands. To make it look like both sides are really trying. I mean, like you said, you know, even in politics, it's, you know, the Republicans and Democrats are, you know, smile and say, yeah, we're going to try and work together. But then when the rubber meets the road, it's going to be a dogfight. And, you know, both sides, I mean, these NBA finals, I know we're going to transition to that, they've been fantastic. Ratings have been through the roof. I mean, these are the product that's on the floor right now that the NBA is putting out is unbelievable, and the consumers are gobbling it up, and both sides realize that they need each other, and so that's why it's going to be pretty interesting, because I think both sides are going to dig in a little bit, and I would not be surprised of a lockout in a couple of years.
And let me tell our listeners what this is all about, and I don't say that condescending. We've got a lot of listeners tonight, Richard. It's the H.L. Mencken theory. It's not about the money, but it is all about the money.
Yep, exactly. And they both,
and that's
what it comes down to.
And sometimes it's tough, speaking of money.
Go ahead. So I was going to say, sometimes you're dealing with millionaires, you know, going against billionaires, and it is tough for just – you know, regular sports fans who drop $100 to take their family to go see a game, and it's hard to understand. But, you know, in that world, that economic world, that, you know, every percentage point that they negotiate either way is worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. So it's a big deal.
You know, and speaking of money, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been on the money so far, and here's something that nobody really talks about.
Yep.
One bounce the right way. This could be 3-0. This could
know,
be
right?
3-0, which would be a total shocker. It's not a total shocker now, but it's shocking that you picked the Cavaliers,
yep,
to your credit. And way to go on that. It's not over yet, but it's a bizarre finals in a way. Everybody thought it'd be the lowest rated TV finals in years, and like you brought up so eloquently, it's smashing all TV ratings. It's just bizarre. It's got an Australian rules football guy bouncing everybody in sight. It's got the MVP playing like he's a rookie. It's got the best player in the game doing what exactly he does, taking control at times and not being able to shoot from the outside. It's an unreal series.
It's been so fun. And I tell you, I thought that they were going to steal game one, and it was close. They almost did. And so, you know, I think I also remember saying that they're going to be 1-1 and then split it in Cleveland. I kind of still think that Golden State's going to figure some things out and are going to take this game tomorrow. And then I think they hold serve on each other on their own court in games 5 and 6. And then I think game 7, Cleveland wins it out there. So, you know, it's been so fun. And the thing that I'm so interested in is how when Cleveland has the ball, they are, because of no Kyrie and no Kevin Love, their offense is so stagnant. I mean, it is like molasses. It is throw the ball to LeBron, everybody else go to the other side of the floor, and LeBron figure something out. I mean, it's like, it's amazing that there really truly is no offense. There's no passing, there's no moving, there's nothing. And it's working, but I'm surprised by that because of the fact that it doesn't seem that Golden State has figured out what they're going to do. And I kind of, that's what reason why I picked them, is that I kind of didn't think that they would know how to handle him because he is so difficult. Because if you do send another guy at him, he is so adept at finding open guys. And then if you don't, he's too strong. He's a locomotive and he just scores. I feel like it's been one of the more exciting ones for me personally, and I know for a lot of people. Golden State's going to have to figure some things out because they can't just rely on just jump shooting. They've got to be able to get to the basket more because Cleveland's defense is extending out and really roughing them up, and they're jumping out on those high ball screens. They're making it really difficult.
Well, and I think the other thing too, Richard, is probably Steve Kerr has got to take I would imagine, knowing him and all that he's been through in his life and everything, a lot of tough situations, a lot of sad things involving the death of his father and all kinds of things. But, he's got to back off his stubbornness a little bit, shorten his bench.
Yeah. I mean, well, and this is the other thing, too, is that I think he needs to flip the rotation a little bit. Andrew Bogut for this series is not your answer. I really liked David Lee in there. I felt like David Lee gives him a little bit more options. He's not going to be great offensively for you, but David Lee is not a slouch of a player. He's athletic, and he can be tough, and maybe he can add a little bit of toughness, to them. He's going to have to do something. But the biggest thing is he's got to there's two big things that I'm seeing for Golden State. One, the emotions. I mean, you want to talk about a team that looks like the somebody stole their lunch money. I mean, these guys, their heads are down. There's no emotion. They look like they're walking around. Green is the only one who has even a sliver of any emotion. And he hasn't been very effective at all. And the other thing is that they've got to figure out ways to get up and down in transition, get some easier buckets, and figure out some ways to get some shots off without it being a forced opportunity with a hand in their face. So, a little bit more ball movement, getting the ball shifted from side to side, get that defense moving. Tire those guys out, because you have to think about it, on the flip side, Cleveland's playing a very short bench, and these guys are logging lots and lots of minutes. If I'm Golden State, I'm trying to run their tails off, and if not, I am moving that ball side to side, and I am making them work as hard as they can on defense every single possession, and see where we can go from there.
Richard, is there any merit, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, as you usually do, is there any merit to my theory that Golden State played the majority of their games the way the schedule is set up by the NBA in the Western Conference, or in the Western Conference, the only team that grinds it out in that conference, pretty much the only team, is the Memphis Grizzlies. The opposite side, the Eastern teams aren't as good, but they grind it out and hack in, slap at you and everything, and they're just not used to all this physical play, and it's almost like Steph Curry is the ball in the pinball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different game, but not only is the style that they play different than what they've been really dealing with all out west the entire year, But the playoff basketball is different. I mean, the physicality of these guys is amazing, and what officials let go is also amazing. And one of the reasons why I felt like Cleveland ultimately was going to win, and I still do, is because LeBron has been there before. And to me, the pressure of the finals is completely different type of pressure than Klay Thompson or Steph Curry or any of those Golden State Warriors have ever felt in their entire life. For LeBron, this is like a Wednesday night. It's no big deal. Who cares? You know what I mean? He did it last year. He'll be in the finals again probably next year. Big whoop. And he's just going to take it and knows exactly how to handle it. And did you see how he got after their center right late in the game when he threw the ball away? I mean, LeBron was ticked. But see, that kind of intensity and that, you know, that because he understands how important every possession is. And so having been there is one of the biggest reasons why I feel, if still feel, that Cleveland is the winner.
And the other part about this series, too, that I think no one's really talked about, Richard, but I will, is the fact that they've talked about it's the first time in that two first-year coaches have ever faced each other. And the part of that is that you know, it was pretty easy for Spoelstra to out-coach Popovich, which he did one year. And then it's pretty easy for Popovich to come back and out-coach Spoelstra. But the coaches have no bearing on this series, quite frankly. You know?
No. It's definitely not because one coach is just crafting this unbelievable game plan for the other, you know, against the other. No, this is a game of superstars on the court, leading their respective teams. And, you know, even as well as Cleveland has been playing, it was a nail-biter again last night. I mean, it was not a pushover. And Golden State's not going without a fight. That's another reason why I truly believe Golden State wins this game tomorrow and they go back to the Bay Area tied 2-2.
Say goodnight, Richard.
Good night, Richard.
All right, very good. That's Richard Lucas. Get a hold of him at his State Farm agency. TheLucasAgency.com is a good way to look everything up. To a wide variety of products we talked about tonight. Does a fabulous job. I'm Greg Crawford. Follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the series because you may not see another one like this for some time. Good night, Richard.
Good night. Bye-bye.